Well, we're another hour into our drive from Memphis to New Orleans, and fuck me. So we were just driving along, and Stewie was driving, and we had this Chevy Malibu in front of us. So at the moment, it's a two-lane highway, slow lane, fast lane. You know, there's a lot of dips, ups and downs, nothing too hilly. And just, I can't really remember what happened.
So basically, we're in a slow lane on the right.
Was he in front of you?
He was in front of us. And without warning, no indicators, he veered off onto the left lane. I thought that was a bit unusual, and then I realised he wasn't stopping, and it hit the grass. And then, miraculously, I don't know if you guys saw when we stood there, the metal crash barrier didn't start until that point of impact. This car just ploughed straight into it. I was then confronted with just a cloud of dust. I couldn't see the car anymore. Yeah, there was bits of cars going, it was just a wall of dust and car bits. I couldn't see the car anymore. I figured if I go further left, because I still had some room off that left-hand lane, I'm going to be fine. The brakes were applied. But somehow, this is where I get a little bit of a blank. Somehow, he ended up in front of us. I thought we shot past him. So it must have been a bit further than I thought as a memory. So yeah, and then he pulled over onto the hard shoulder, they call it here. And we were shortly behind him. How's it?
Yeah, so he actually hit the barrier, like you say, just as it starts.
It just started, yeah.
Yeah, and he almost hit it face on, square on. Had the barrier been longer, he would have just bounced off it.
Yeah.
And probably been less of an impact, I imagine. Yeah. But he's fucking it. His front left
wheel
is gone.
Underneath the passenger seat.
It's folded. It's come off.
He's, to the
how the fuck they both walked out of there, I don't know. That we have got a photo and a video of it. Not the actual impact, but the aftermath. He has absolutely fucked his car. And fair play for Stewie, he kept his composure. Like I say, it was just a cloud of dust because he's gone onto the grass verge first and realised he's on the grass, tried to pull it across, and he's caught the front left. And he's hit the fucking thing. I think the car did a 360.
He did. I know I said there was a wall to the, I could see this black thing just spinning.
Yeah, that was fucking scary. And yeah, Stewie, to his credit, fucking broken time. Like I say, we got straight out, and like I say, there's big old fucking trucks and lorries doing fucking 70, 80 miles an hour along it, and you know they're getting quite close to our car as we've like pulled into the hard shoulder. But they've both got out. They're a couple in their late 50s, 60s. You know, I'm not going to assume anything, but he was fucking about in that front seat for a little bit.
They were panicking a bit, weren't they?
They were definitely. I don't know, he was putting something in a bag after the false start we've had today. Before this is the last fucking thing we need. So they're on the phone to the police, they're on the phone to the sheriff and the recovery. They're on the way, and so we were like, well, we're in harm's way here as well, not only they are, but they were more than happy for us to carry on with our journey. So you know, we stayed with them for 5-10 minutes, and that was scary. That was fucking scary. That could have been. I thought we were going to be dealing with dead bodies the way he fucking spun.
Yeah, that was my first. Before I could see the movement, when everything stopped and we were pulled over behind it, before I could see the movements of heads and that in the front seat, because it was facing the right way when it came to a stop, I thought, shit, someone's gone there.
Yeah, I fucking thought we were going to be dealing with dead bodies. But somehow they both managed to get out. Let that be a lesson to you. Like I said, he was in the he's in the right hand lane, has veered across onto the grass verge and smash. Fuck. Put your seatbelt on. And don't fucking talk on your phone when you're, you know, or play on your phone as you're driving, which we've seen a lot of people do here.
God, it's like an outbreak of people on their phones driving. It's scary.
Yeah, it's all like, all at once, isn't it? Sort of out of the blue happened. And I'd like to say thank you to Stu personally for his alertness and reactions, and Yeah, thank you, Stu.
Do you know what you get for that, Stu? You get a free Sonic burger of your choice.
Oh, mate, that's what's keeping me alert. Trying to keep that bastard in.
So these roads are very long and very monotonous, and, you know, you can sort of... You need to keep alert at all times, and luckily we are, all of us. But it's just a lesson there, just be on the lookout all the time.
We have finally made it to New Orleans, Louisiana, known as NOLA. The hottest we've been so far. It's absolutely fucking sweating.
It's humid.
Humid is not the word. Hot.
Humid. Humid.
Humid.
Yeah, it's fucking hot. The drive in was amazing. Suddenly it's gone from fields and trees to wetland and swamps and
high rise.
It's like a high rise. It's a massive long bridge from it must span nearly 30-40 miles.
Yeah, you got a bit of the old river in the middle. What river? Oh, fucking hell, what's it called? Lake Pochacantatunu or something like that.
The bayou,
yeah. Well, that was one side, and then lake something the other side. But it was just water, a lot of water.
What's that say?
I'm just googling how long the I don't know what you call it. So we got the Lake Pontchartrain Causeway. It's saying
two bridges, 23 miles.
23.83 miles.
Yeah, it went on and on and on.
It was spectacular and high as well. I mean, this thing has to be out of the swamp, sides.
It was a feat of engineering. I don't know how they built it, because it's basically built into swampland. So there's some engineers out there will know some sort of ingenious way they would have done that, but I just don't know. It's beyond my pay grade, that one.
Yeah, it was a lovely drive-in after the setbacks we've had today. We pulled into the historic Mardi Gras Hotel. It's where myself and Cheryl, we stayed there 2 years ago. Lovely little area, just outside the French Quarter. 10-minute walk to the bottom of Bourbon Street. So as soon as we got in... we've got a massive, massive room. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 beds. So we've all got our own little room each.
Barks has the biggest bed.
Yeah, how did you swindle that one?
There's all big beds in each room, isn't there?
No. Well, mine was not as big as yours.
Mine's a single.
Nah, there's a double in there as well.
Mine's a cot.
No.
Yeah, ours are all doubles. Yours is like a fucking king.
I'm the king.
It's all right, he's on the sofa for the next 2 nights. He doesn't know that yet.
Ah, sofa then.
Sofa wanker. So anyway, we went straight out. We thought, the sun was just setting. We caught New Orleans in quite a nice night. The music on the way in. Is that a cockroach on the wall? Was that stuff?
No,
that's a frame. Okay, sorry, my eyesight is bad. We're in Baxter's room where the TV doesn't work and the light doesn't work. That's my cock. So yeah, the sun was then setting as we got into New Orleans. So we dumped the bags in, straight down to Bourbon Street. We found a nice little bar where there was like a blues band. They're playing some Dire Straits, some Steely Dan,
Fleetwood Mac.
You know, they were really good. Tom Petty as well. The reasonably priced beers. You know, $20 for an actual pint as well. $20
for three.
$18 for three beers. Sorry. What was your first impressions of walking down Bourbon Street?
Bourbon Street. Really nice. It was a little bit dark as we were venturing out, so our first real taste of New Orleans was just as the sun gone down. We couldn't help but whacking our faces into leaves and foliage and the humidity, and all I could think of, it's fucking tropical here. It is tropical. And when we did hit Bourbon Street, the lights came on and the sounds of giggles and screams and laughter was very inviting. And the whole area is pleasant, really pleasant. I don't feel uncomfortable or a bit worried about what the next corner's going to hold. Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is the most unique place we've been to so far. It's completely different to any of the other places we've been to. Architecture, the vibe, atmosphere, the history. Well, each place have had history, but this is one of my favourite places, I think.
Yeah.
I think just the fact that it's completely different to anything you've... Just the drive in, like they've said, amazing. Just swampland and... I know it sounds simple, but just swampland, oh, what's that? But it's like, it's magical, isn't it? In a way, and the actual the place is actually remarkable. The architecture and the is because it's Halloween soon, so everyone's got their displays, wonderful displays of pumpkins and ghouls and ghosts and clowns and all that sort of stuff. And and the actual big the Bourbon Street just off Custer Cream Street. Not really. Cut that out.
Oh, shit.
Let's podcast
out of
all the shit
we've
got going
on. I know. It's all anything I've said.
Yeah.
Controversial. No, but the main strip was neon everywhere and bands playing and everything you expected it to be. And it's a shame we couldn't get there a bit earlier, but we took advantage of what we could and had a bloody good night, I think.
Yeah, we had a good handful of beers. But to touch on what you were saying, like all the houses are individually coloured. They're all individually made. They're all individually set up. You know, they're all different sizes. There's no house here that looks exactly the same as any other house. It's just nice to just walk around, really, especially around outside the French Quarter. And I believe the area we're staying in is called Margigny. It's...
Margigny.
Yeah, Margigny. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But loads of cool little cafes and breakfast bars and beignet bars. And it's just a... Like I said, when I last came here 2 years ago, I came away from New Orleans thinking that was amazing. Like, I didn't appreciate what was here. And coming back, I was like, yeah, I'm so glad to be back here. And I would definitely come back here again. I'm not sure I would want to race back to Nashville. You know, Nashville for me was just... way too busy and way too expensive for what it was, but it was good, very good. Glad I did it, went. But New Orleans, you know, I'd quite happily come back for a few more days, come back for like a short week, or I can't wait to sort of get out tomorrow, see a few bits and bobs, you know, and show these boys sort of the main square and the more Jackson Square. And
it'd be nice to see it in the daylight, to be fair, see those colours come out and that foliage come out. What was your views on it, Jack? And you're the one hosting the podcast, and you ask us what our views are on places. What's your views been, a place that you enjoy more than most in the America?
I just said.
Oh, did you? Sorry.
You're too busy fucking around with your phone, weren't you?
I was looking for the answer to your Marjorie.
I think I nailed it. I'm not going to correct myself now.
Nice,
I just said, like, I wouldn't rush back Nashville because I've done them now.
Oh, okay.
Memphis, you know, I think I quite like Memphis. It was very, very run down. It was very, you could see it was poor once upon a time. But we only spent 24 hours there, so I can't really say I've done Memphis.
With Memphis, I think it probably hasn't changed much, a lot, apart from the new houses they built recently. From the 50s, really,
no.
You could, like, it's like going back in time.
Bill Street probably hasn't been touched.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit commercialised, possibly, I don't know. But you just look at the streets around it, you think, I'm in the bloody 50s here. You know, it's
yeah, and then all of a sudden it changes. There's a different feel. But I found that in most places, it's not just in America either, but all you got to do is you'd be walking down one road and you think, this is fantastic, take a turn, and it's suddenly just run down. Mm. But Memphis had that more prominent. You could see that more often. You'd be driving down, you know, these are nice houses, could you live here? Which is a thing that we've been doing, could you live here? You know, could you see? Then all of a sudden, take one turn, bang, it's gone, you know. New Orleans, from what I've seen at night, I would say it is run down, but again, all of a sudden there's this house. And you think, fuck me, who the hell lives there? So George Clooney, oh my God. Look next door, go, oh, that's a shame. You see, even the paths are all like broken and all that. But it looks fantastic.
I'd say it's weird.
It's the place with the most character.
Mm.
It's just completely different. I mean, I've probably said this already. It's just completely different to anything we've ever seen.
I only felt that once I left here last time. I thought that was amazing. That was the most unique place I've been to. I love it here, you know. I'd quite happily come back again, you know. We went right out of the way to come here just for 24 hours, and I'm so glad we did it. You know, I know we still got tomorrow morning, and we got a long drive tomorrow. We've got a 7.5 hour drive from here to Dallas, but you know, we may not be able to come out this way again or for a little while. And you know, if you never get to come back here, at least you say you've done it, you know. A bit of it, yeah. I'm a bit gutted that we lost a bit of time today. I'm gutted we're not staying more than one night.
It does certainly feel like we've left America whilst being here, and we're going to be entering back, because it is, like you said, the most unique. It's a completely different kettle of fish.
Until you've actually been here, it's very hard to describe, isn't it? I suppose. Yeah, because you, like I said, every town I mentioned, like you always see on the TV and movies and that, to actually be there, be here and feel the atmosphere and the vibe, is completely different. Completely different.
And I mentioned to you earlier that you could see that as we're walking down Bourbon Street, everybody had a drink in their hand. Everybody was sort of... There was older people there. Stewie said it.
Any fights, any violence.
There's a good police presence. And Stewie said it sort of reminded him of the Clipper, because there was an older crowd here.
Yeah.
So
people enjoying themselves, having a good time.
Yeah, and
that's all any town,
city asks for, isn't it. It's got a good vibe about it. Just everyone behave, have a good time. You know, we're all here to have a good time.
So yeah, that was our evening in New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Yep. So we had a good couple of beers, had a couple of slices of pizza, got back to our room, and we're gonna go fucking sleep now.
Yeah.
Hit it early tomorrow. Get some beignets. Go have a nice breakfast. Try and maybe sneak in a little gumbo, and hit the road on Dallas. So we'll catch up with you tomorrow on the road. Right, we are on the road again. We have been driving for about 3.5 hours. 3 hours. No, 3.5 hours. No, 4 hours nearly. Yeah, it's been a long drive. 4.5 hours from New Orleans. And we're on our way to Dallas. And we are coming up to the little town of Natchitoches. Somewhere that me and my partner Cheryl, we was going to visit a few years ago, but we didn't end up going there. We ended up flying because there's fuck all to do on this road. So we were up early. Did everyone have a good sleep?
I was woken up quite early on. I don't know why. A couple of hours I was away for, but then managed to fall back to sleep, and yeah, the rest was history.
Bax, slept well?
Lovely sleep.
Yeah, he's just woken up from a nap in the car, so he's not 100% with us yet. Anyway, so yeah, we got up, we checked out quite early, because we wanted to make up a bit of time for what we didn't get to see and do yesterday. We got in the car and drove right down to Jackson Square, which is the main square in New Orleans, where the cathedral is, or the church. Parked down there, and then we had a little walk around. First stop, had to do it, went to Mondo Cafe to get some beignets. Anyone doesn't know what a beignet is, it's basically a square or rectangle donut. Very hot. Well, I say very hot, they come to you warm and hot, and you get a bag of them with three of them in, and it comes with powdered sugar, absolutely over the top with powdered sugar. They were lovely and warm. Bax, what did you make of the beignets?
It's just donuts with ice and sugar on, isn't it? No, they were lovely donuts. Beignets, which I got most of it down my shirt. Looked like I'd just come out of a cocaine factory. But yeah, very nice, and a nice coffee.
A very nice coffee. Stuart, you declined the beignets and just stuck with the coffee. Any regrets?
No. I like burgers.
We know. He's still banging on about Mel's burgers down in Pigeon Forge.
Yeah, that screwed my burgers up for life, Dad.
Well, you might have competition today, because anybody doesn't know, in Dallas, they do have several locations of Dallas. Not Wallace, you idiot.
Sonic.
Oh, sorry. I'm the idiot.
Cut that out.
In Dallas, they have several locations of In-N-Out Burger. Now, predominantly, In-N-Out Burgers are West Coast, California, Arizona, and Vegas, and Nevada. So, that had white wings.
Did it have white?
Yeah,
white-tipped
wings.
Oh, well, that's...
Well, we've got some news for you. Oh, I lost my train of thought then.
Eagle-eyed Stewie.
No, we're going back to the burgers.
Oh, right.
Yeah, In-N-Out Burger. Probably the best fast food burger I've ever had anywhere in the world. I've never had a bad one, so we'll be dining at this establishment before we get into the...
It will be rated.
It's got to be up there with Mel's. Can't be any worse than Sonic.
No, that's just been rubbed off the whole...
Excuse me?
Rub it off.
Anyway, so after we had our beignets, we had a little walk around down the, you know, the lanes and the avenues and roads of New Orleans. We walked to Louis Armstrong Park, where we saw his statue, and Congo Square, I believe they call it.
Congo Square.
Where there was a lot of slave trade going on there. And they've turned it into a place of sort of remembrance. And what did you think of New Orleans now you'd seen it in the light? And you know, you can see all the colours of the buildings. You can see, you know, because obviously we got here late last night, and the, you know, by the time we got into town, it was sort of dark. But what did you think seeing it in the light for the first time, Stuart?
It was a work of art. It really was. Out of what we've already witnessed, it was a very unique feel to it. And yeah, no, like I said, every corner was something new. I like the whole, it looked like old Western still, some of these balconies. I got absolutely fantastic photography out of it.
Yeah, it's there's no house the same. You know, they're all different colours, they're all built differently, they all slant differently. You know, they have, some of them have porches, some of them have balconies, some of them made out of wood, some are made out of brick. They're just, it's the most unique place I've ever been, and I've come to the conclusion that it's probably currently, I've not been to them all, but currently it is my favourite city in America. I could quite easily come back and spend another week here. When I came last time, we weren't able to do any of the boat, go out of New Orleans. You know, we wanted to go on a swamp tour and on a boat tour, but because of a hurricane, so we weren't able to do that. So I don't think this will be the last visit for myself. Bax, what did you make of New Orleans?
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. I was just having a think. Yeah, I loved it. Very different. You can see the French and the Spanish influence throughout the city. And we saw, have you mentioned Louis Armstrong?
Briefly,
yeah, I went to see him.
You're
right. Yeah, I was going to do an impression then, but I decided not to.
We won't need to cut that out.
Don't cut that out.
I say, that was rubbish. You've just woken up, haven't you? And he's got is, yeah, great, yeah, cool.
I think I said last night,
but... Yeah, well, you're sitting in the daylight now, so... Anyway, we got out of town about 11 o'clock, got straight on the road. Pretty much fuck all to see. You know, we went back over the big-ass bridge where, you know, over the wetlands and the swamps and stuff. That was cool. And then we started, obviously, venturing inland. Dallas is located north of northwest of New Orleans, and there's really not a lot to see. There's not a lot of nothing. It's just fields, not even interesting fields either.
Tarmac.
This road's shit. It's just all blocks. You know that like road when you come into Southampton. It's just sort of brrr. Oh hello. Ah, oh, this first bit, as I've said that, we've just hit the first bit of tarmac for about 50-60 miles. Oh, doesn't that create wonders for your posterior?
Fucking massive bug. The bugs are huge in this country, I've noticed.
Small birds. Anyway, as we're about halfway through this drive, Eagle Eye Cherry over here, aka Stuart Tan, what did you spot?
I noticed the two birds circling. I thought that one's rather high and big, and then I just caught a white bit on the back, on the tail, and I thought, you know what, I wonder, and I mentioned it to Jack, and as I looked again I could see the white head. Right, that's a fucking bald eagle.
So I quickly googled whether or not there were bald. I know there are bald eagles here. I didn't know if they were native to Louisiana. I quickly had a look and they said they do congregate in the north part of Louisiana. And then we've seen another one as we're on this podcast. Saw the white wings and the white head. Yeah, the white tipped wings, I should say. Not, but we've seen an eagle. It's
eagle-eyed over here. Yep.
You know what we say to that? God bless America. Bax, did you see it?
Briefly.
He's probably asleep.
There's no cyber truck, is it?
Yeah. You can see a native wild animal that's flying, 100 foot in the air. Well, 100 foot's probably exaggerated, but you can't see a Tesla that's driving past you. Never mind. So, yeah, we got about another 3.5 hours drive till we hit Dallas. First stop is going to be In-N-Out Burger. You know, we're trying to keep the costs down a little bit for our last couple of nights because...
State fair's going to be big.
Yeah, so tomorrow we're hitting the sixth floor museum of where the assassination of JFK. And then we've got the state fair, which runs from midday to 10 o'clock in the evening. I think we're all pretty keen to make the most of that. Turn up sort of late afternoon, early afternoon even. And it's got to be a lot of money spent there, I think, on all these foods. You know, I'm very keen to try a proper corn dog. I've had a corn dog before. It's, I think it was a frozen one. It wasn't great.
We interrupt this podcast to give you some up-to-date news. Due to the team of Destination Redline being amateurs, an issue has occurred during recording, leading us to an important lesson. All devices on fly mode during recording sessions. We do apologise for the inconvenience, and stay tuned and find out whether or not Jack actually has his corn dog, and what will Bax say next. Thank you very much.